We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for the next fiscal year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2009. Simply go to the sponsors page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. Thanks for your support.
As a person of faith, I believe we are called to care for each other and work to ease human suffering. The full promise of stem cell research remains unknown, and it's about letting scientists do their jobs, and that we make scientific decisions based on facts, not ideology.
If someone would disagree with the church on abortion, I don't see how they can call themselves a Catholic. And the vanity or hurt feelings of an individual Catholic governor or senator or even vice president do not take priority over the faith of the believing community.
Christian film is bad film for the same reason that pornography is bad. It's made on low budgets. There's nobody in it with much talent, and we all know how the story's going to turn out.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
You got to wonder, in the long run, and now we are into the long run, aren't we? Feminism, radical feminism, has had its way with culture, society, and young women, and men for that matter, for the better part of, I'd say 50 years, but easily 40 years. So we're in the long run. In the long run, what does feminism do for women? What has it gotten them? You know, the old cigarette ad used to say, "You've come a long way, baby." Well, women can now smoke cigarettes or wear pants or any of those kind of things. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about equal pay, because I think equal pay is something that probably appeals to people who don't have feminist leanings too. Radical feminism, movement feminism, what has it done for women, especially the women who've grown up with it all their lives, the young women out there? Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris joins us here for the first 10 minutes of this hour of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We'll talk about that very question. It's Wednesday afternoon, the 1st of April. Our call-in number for the next hour, 1-877-623-6943. 1-877-623-MYIE. You can also email questions or comments to us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. talkback@issuesetc.org. After our brief conversation with Jennifer on feminism after 40-some-odd years, we'll have some audio open lines. ABC News Nightline did a debate, "Does Satan Exist?" That's an interesting subject. Does Satan exist? We talked, I think, yesterday about eternal punishment, and you kind of have to have a devil to go in hell, or do you? Is this just a very outmoded and primitive concept that Christians, some Christians, continue to cling to? We'll hear this debate. Participants in the debate, the likes of Deepak Chopra, Carlton Pearson, Pastor Mark Driscoll, and Annie Lobert, who's founder of a Christian ministry called Hookers for Jesus. They will debate whether or not Satan exists. We'll play the audio for you. We'll stop and we'll start it, and we'll get your reaction. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talkback@issuesetc.org. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is our guest. She's founder of the Ruth Institute, based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Smart Sex and Love and Economics. Jen, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
What do you think's been the impact of radical feminism on teenage women in their and women in their 20s, their 30s, young women, we would say?
Well, the impact of feminism has been, quite ironically, that more women are raising children by themselves than ever before. This is the impact of feminism because feminism, so much of it taught that men and women are completely interchangeable and that women should get to do whatever men do, but they kind of forgot this little thing called babies, which really, truly does have differential impact on women rather than on men. And so the net result of the sexual revolution, which really is part of the feminist movement, and feminism, this particular kind of radical egalitarian feminism, the net result is that more women are spending more and more of their lives alone and raising children more and more alone. So it really has been a big disappointment, I think, to a lot of people.
What is wrong with this radical feminism movement, feminism? Because some would say, hey, It's improved women's lot in the workplace and women's rights in general. Is that the benefit of radical feminism, or is there something to be worried about here?
Well, first of all, a lot of that, feminism took credit for a lot of things that were changing anyway. I mean, for instance, the trend toward increasing participation in the labor force was underway at the beginning of the 20th century, well before feminism. The trend towards women participating in college, going to college, that began shortly after World War II. That got started. So those trends have been in place for a long time, and feminism took credit for things that were going to happen in any event. And the problem with that is that feminism assigned the meaning to those trends and steered them into a very particular direction. And so part of the problem is that that form of radical feminism basically said that the proper thing to do is to be like a man and to work like a man and to treat your job the way a man would treat it and to be out of the labor force as little time as possible. And so what they did was to create legal institutions and laws and regulations and corporate practices that support that view. And I would say that that has not been particularly helpful for women. It would have been much more constructive for women to promote a view that said that women do have different needs with relationship to the workplace. Women want to leave the workforce some of the time. They want to be able to come back. They want to have flexible jobs. They want to have flexible hours. Promoting those kinds of things, which are distinct from the things that men have, actually, I think, would have served women much better. And I think, frankly, if there's going to be a feminist movement in the future, that's what it's going to have to do, that the next round of any kind of pro-woman stuff is going to have to pay attention to those to flexibility in the workplace rather than equality in the workplace.
You talk with young people across the country, young women across the country in particular. What are the issues for young women today?
Well, you know, every once in a while I give a talk, you know, sort of attacking feminism, and a lot of them will raise their hand and say, well, that's not what we think feminism is anymore, which is very interesting to me. You know, I find that that a lot of the old Gloria Steinem-type stuff has kind of dropped by the wayside as far as the young people are concerned. They don't care about it. It doesn't matter to them. And so they're much more receptive to a message that says get married and stay home for a while and then come back later and have your job. A lot of women are receptive to that. But unfortunately, the problem is that they don't see that you need to have a stable marriage, and the marriage institution as a social institution has to be stable enough so that you can leave and leave the workforce and be sure that your husband will stay married to you while you're gone, you know, so that you don't lose all of your human capital investment in your job and all the rest of it. What the impact of no-fault divorce has been that a lot of women stay in the workforce longer than they really want to after their kids are born because they're afraid their husbands won't be there for them. So there's a lot of misinformation around that issue. There's also a lot of misinformation around the sexual revolution. A lot of young people have simply drunk the Kool-Aid, so to speak, on the whole sexual revolution thing, which is that you're entitled to unlimited sexual activity without ever having a live baby. And if you say, well, no, there actually is a connection between sex and babies and marriage, and it's actually a good thing, it's not a bad thing, you don't really need to chemically neuter yourself in your 20s, they look at you like you've lost your mind. But there are young people who are drawn to the message that we might call a traditional Christian message, which says that marriage and family and children are all inextricably linked up with one another, that that's a better way to live. And there are a lot of people who are drawn to that message, is what I'm finding among the young.
Okay, so how do we – radical feminism did succeed in reaching at least a significant portion of the previous generation of women and influencing them. How do we, with an alternative message, reach the future generation of women?
Well, you know, I'll tell you, we at the Ruth Institute are planning for this fall, this summer, our first ever student conference. And our student conference is called It Takes a Family to Raise a Village. And it will be held in beautiful, sunny San Diego, California, August 6th through the 9th. And the purpose of that conference is to bring high-quality, credible academic information to young people, to college students, about the significance of marriage, about the biblical view of marriage, about the physiology of casual sex and why it's so bad for you. Just a whole variety of topics that will help young people to build up their own married life. And then we'll also have a couple of sessions on creating your own chastity clubs or pro-marriage clubs on your campus, because there are students who are doing that across the country, and we have one of their leaders who's going to come and address our group. So if any of your listeners are interested in this, we now have the application up on our website. You can go to ruthinstitute.org and look at the part called Student Conference, Summer Conference, and there's an online application. Young people can apply for it right now, anytime, because we're really looking for kids from all across the country to come and learn about this information and take it back to their campuses so that people can have a real honest-to-goodness alternative on campus.
Folks, you can find out about It Takes a Family to Raise a Village under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Click On Demand. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse is founder of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's author of the books Smart Sex and Love and Economics. Jen, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back from our break, we've got audio open lines to round off the rest of this hour. A lot to listen to, in fact. ABC News Nightline had a debate. The participants in the debate were Deepak Chopra. This is an interesting lineup. Carlton Pearson. You remember, he's the guy who's been recently in the news as a very prominent pastor in the South who has gone from kind of word faith theology to universalism. Pastor Mark Driscoll, who's known in kind of the emergent circles a little bit. He's a pastor of Mars Hill Church. And then Annie Laubert, who's founder of a Christian ministry called Hookers for Jesus, debating the question, does Satan exist? Now, I want to hear from you. We're going to listen to the audio, and we'll take your calls, your reactions. 1-877-623-6943. Audio Open Lines is next. 1-877-623-MYIE or talk back at issuesetc.org. It's Wednesday afternoon, April the 1st. When we come back, the debate, does Satan exist? We've interviewed four members of the President's Council on Bioethics since President Obama announced his decision to allow federal funding of embryonic stem cell research. Dr. Robert George.
In all the talk about curing Alzheimer's and Parkinson's disease and so forth, who's shuffled off the stage is the victim, the tiny embryonic human being who will now be sacrificed, treated as disposable research material.
Dr. Gilbert Mylander.
Science itself always has moral agendas at work. It's not as if it's value-free. If we suppose that it's entirely neutral with respect to moral questions, it's not.
Dr. William Hurlbut.
Bottom line is whether we as a society are going to endorse the instrumental use of human life at its earliest stages in scientific research.
And Dr. Leon Cass.
He simply said, I think this is the right thing to do. I respect your opinion, but there was no argument other than cures will be forthcoming. That's an argument that only shows a very shallow understanding of the moral question.
Defending life from beginning to end. Issues, etc.
Treadmill for the mind. You're listening to Issues, Etc. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues, Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151. Or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues, Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues, Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.